Hi everyone, welcome back to my channel. My name is Stassi. Thank you so much for being here today. Happy Tuesday, everyone. I know I just drop episodes now when I feel like it, and it's so freeing and amazing to not be with a posting schedule. But also, this is another bonus episode before season three comes out, and I am so excited to not only announce this little project that I'm want to work on for the rest of the year. So I'm so excited to announce that I will be doing Machinima Spotlight interviews every month for the next foreseeable future. And I thought, I can't think of anyone better to first bring on as a guest than Lady Riaz. So thank you so much, Lady Riaz, for being here today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for asking me.
Oh my God, I'm happy for you to be here. And like I was saying before we started, I was so nervous when I asked you that like you would say no. Like that was like my first scary thought. I still get that thought, guys. Like when I reach out to people, I get no's quite frequently. So
it's crazy to hear that because you've been doing this for, you said 218 episodes so far. So
218 episodes. 2021. I've been doing this for almost three years. September 7th. 2024 will be my 3-year anniversary of doing this.
I think it's fit that you get nervous of asking. It just means that you cared. Because if you didn't care, like, if they don't answer, it's whatever.
Oh my God. I think I care too much. Or I'll be like, oh my God. I'll pitch somebody an episode and they're like, maybe. And I'm like, that wasn't the answer. The answer was yes. But Lady, I'm so excited that you are here today to talk about Unsound Minds. So thank you, thank you, thank you for coming here today and being our first guest to this mini series of Machinima Spotlights. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself and your Sims history before we get started?
Okay, I am Riaz. I am a storyteller. I love making machinimas. Most of my machinimas are usually very heart-wrenching because I love making my Sims cry. So typically I don't really like to do happy stories. They're usually very depressing. I started playing The Sims 4, The Sims with The Sims 4. I've never tried The Sims 3 or The Sims 2. It always has been The Sims 4. I do maybe hope in the future I can try The Sims 3, but for now I'm just vibing with The Sims 4. Yeah.
I love that. So I like how you like to make your Sims cry. That
my
is
favorite
we'll
pastime.
We'll definitely get into that later in this interview. But a question I like to ask, it's very interesting. So I'm an OG player. I've been playing 21 years now, you know?
Just 21 years ago.
Yeah,
no way.
We've been playing The Sims for a long time.
So you started with The Sims 2?
Sims 1. Wow. I've played The Sims 2. I didn't play The Sims 3 because I was in college and university at that time. And I actually didn't realize when I was playing Sims 3 that it was Sims 3 because I thought it was Sims 4. It wasn't until many years later when I realized that when I went to recreate my husband, well, my at that time my boyfriend in The Sims, they didn't have body hair. And in The Sims 3, when I had made him, they had body hair. And yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this naked mole rat Sims that don't have body hair? My husband's Macedonian. He's got body hair. So I was like, oh, that's Sims 3. Cool. And then I got back into The Sims 4 because of Kelsey and Peachy K's 100 Baby Challenge. Back in like 2019-ish, 2018, 2019. And then I wouldn't say like I played hardcore Sims like 2020, but I just didn't put anything online until 2021. I was like, yay, I'm on Instagram in the Sims community. I don't know what that means, but yay. And it's literally changed my life ever since. So, but that literally brings us here today, right? So yeah. It's crazy.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be the whole time. Now, we're here to specifically talk about, I know you've worked on many machinimas, but today is Unsound Minds. So what inspired you to create this series?
Well, my the inspiration really stemmed from my loves for The Sims 4. And also I remember when I discovered Machinima, how obsessed I was. So then I had the idea, oh, what, you can try making this yourself. So then I learned how the creators does it. And so I started gathering little information about me, because on some mine is definitely the story aspect is little stuff from my personal life that I added to my characters, so that way I can make them feel a little more genuine, a little more authentic. Yeah, I feel like even though it's a made-up story, it's nice to add a little part of you to the characters every now and then, just to make them feel a little more real. Yeah.
Amazing. What's a quick synopsis that you could give to everybody listening to this podcast of what Unsound Minds is about?
Okay, Unsound Mind is about Faith Hastings, a woman who is consumed by vengeance. She was, I don't like to say bully, because whenever people hear bully, it's like, oh my God, cliche. But she was bullied in high school. And so as she grew older, she noticed that the people on her bullies are happy, and she couldn't live with that. She couldn't stand seeing them happy while she's miserable. So then she started going on the path of vengeance. Yeah. So what,
Amazing.
yeah. What?
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I was gonna say that her word is, if karma is taking too long, you do it yourself.
Where is
Yeah.
that on every t-shirt? Because it's so true.
Right.
Amazing. So when did you first start making this machinima? Because I see on YouTube it's now been remastered. So that tells me you've gone back in and redone it. So when did
I
you first start
did.
making it?
If I think I released the first episode in 2021, and I didn't like the way it looked. I couldn't watch it. And one thing for me is, if I can watch my own things, I'm not gonna have people watching. I'm not gonna. I feel like if you make something, you have to be willing to watch it. If you can't watch it, then you can't expect other people to watch it. And I couldn't watch it at all. Like, I would cringe every time I watched the first episode. So then I went back and remastered them. Yeah, the first episode was released in 2021. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And when you say cringe, and I know I've talked about this a lot on this channel for storytellers, really wanting to get out there. Like, you're so proud. The first anybody who's out there who wants to put their story out for the first time and like presses submit, like that feeling of accomplishment will stick with you for the rest of your life. But the more you make episodes and the more tips and tricks you pick up along the way and the little like life hacks, but just like I'm going to call it life hacks, especially when it comes to editing. Our CC has gotten better. Animations have gotten better. You go back and watch it, you're like, oh, that's so cringe. Oh, that's so bad. What was one of the biggest changes that you did when you remastered it from the original version to what we have today?
Okay, the writing is definitely better. Also, everything is just better. The animation, just because I had a lot of experience by the time I went back to master the episodes. So, my writing had gotten better. The animations that the creators was releasing was very realistic. And my filming was definitely, I think my filming was the most improved, just because I was able to learn how to keep the viewers engaged in what they were viewing. I learned how to keep them immersed in what they were watching. So I'll definitely say the filming was improved the most. Yeah.
I love that. And again, like things change in those years of like different, like for example, like reshades
Oh
and
my
G
God.
shades completely is a game
Yeah.
changer. Like how I like to tell the Sims youth that are coming in today, they're like the youth in real life. They had YouTube, like we had YouTube like like day one that was like America's Funniest Home Videos and like music videos and like Charlie doing like game voiceovers and stuff. Like, so like we were like the infancy of YouTube, and now I can type in anything of like, here is a palette I bought at Walmart, and like it will give me a full makeup tutorial. And that was like when we were kids, we just like guessed and like used our fingers for like our brushes for eyeshadow. Hilarious, fun times. But now kids are now like, oh, like, yeah, so like I know how to do like an instant facelift at like 15 by like this makeup because I watched it on this YouTube video. So it's kind of like Instagram storytellers or mission creators coming in to the community in 2024. The world's their oyster because they now have Reshade and G-Shade and all of these animations and all these poses that like us as storytellers laid the foundation on in the early 2020s, and now we ran so they could walk, if that makes sense. So
yeah, I get you.
So you said at the top of this podcast that you like to make people, your Sims, cry. Self included, I love making my Sims cry and feel awkward because it's just so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
What character development do you do to make your characters, should I say, cry?
Let's say, okay, if one of my characters, let's say, okay, I'm gonna take an example of Tabitha from Hearts Online. She's one of the lead characters. Like when the series first started, she was always happy, very bitchy. Oh, can I say that word?
Baby, this, you can swear, you can say whatever you want. This is an uncensored podcast. If you want to drop fuck 10 times in a sentence, go nuts. You're welcome.
Yeah, she was very rude, very mean, and as the story progressed, I started taking things away from her. So once you start taking things away from her, it's gonna build up to the point where she can't take it anymore, and she's gonna have a panic attack, and to the point where they start crying and feeling like their life is over and stuff. Yeah,
I got you. I feel like there are certain, you know, people out there in our real lives that are like that, that are not, I want to say materialistic, of being like, if you start taking stuff away from them, they will explode. Now, what character do you resonate the most with?
I would say the lead character, Faith Hastings, just because she has the most of me in her. Because I remember when my mom died, I also gave her that part of me. Her bullying in high school, it wasn't as gruesome as it was for her. For me, it was mine was pretty tame. Like I was getting bullied, and I didn't even know I was getting bullied just because I was so unaware. But hers is really gruesome. Yeah, I would say Fate, just because she has more of me in her character.
I mean, that makes sense, and I can tell from watching Unsound Minds, you have the most passion when it comes to her, because you can see that, and you can see that in story writing who the author's favorites are, because you can see the dedication and the work and the character development that goes in there, which leads me to my next question is, in this story, what was the most difficult scene to put together and why? And when I say difficult, it could range from filming the scene or writing of the scene. Like what scene pulled on your heartstrings the most?
Okay, I would say it was in episode 3 when Faith lost her husband. It was very hard to film and hard to write at the same time, because I really loved the VA that I voiced him, because he was doing such a good job, which made you connect with Ben Coleman even more. So when I was writing the episode, it was a little difficult to figure out what to do. How do I, like, because let's say the episode, the season has 13 episodes. So, and Ben appeared in two episodes. Yeah, two episodes. And I want his death to have an impact throughout the whole episode. And he's only in two episodes. I wanted his death to be impactful. So it was hard to write his death. I don't know. Is that too spoilery? It kind of
Hashtag spoilers, everybody.
is,
I should have started with that. But
yeah.
no, I mean, I think it's like the mission has been out for a while. If you haven't watched it at this point,
What are you doing?
yeah, what do you do? That's on them.
Okay.
That's not on
Okay.
us. But yeah, I feel like a good death can be hard to write, especially if you're putting in, especially since it's you're the main character who you resonate the most with. You would, it's like you're watching your sim suffer, which then makes you sad at the same time. Now, switching to happier beats of what's the happiest scene that you ever written?
Happiest.
Happiest, yeah.
Well, I have to think about that. The scenes that I love to write the most is between Faith and Ashton, just because they have a strong bond. Their friendship is so strong. You have Ashton who wants to protect Faith, and Faith who wants to protect Ashton. And not only that, the VAs had good chemistry. So seeing them on screen was always the happiest for me. Even when they are sat together, you get like a wholesome feeling. You get a wholesome vibe just because of how much they care about each other. But
Amazing.
yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I love that they would be able to tease each other but also laugh with each other. That's really my favorite things to film, yeah.
Amazing. Now, I have to applaud you. Did you cast this project by voice actors by yourself? Yeah.
I do have help, but I have help with the writing, but the filming is me pulling her
Amazing.
out.
Amazing. I was gonna say, the voice actors that you selected are phenomenal. I now know what it's like to cast a voiceover project. It can be
Oh.
a lot, but rewarding at the same time. When you were casting your voice actors for this project, what were you specifically looking for in mind?
That's probably gonna sound like I'm just a depressing person, but I remember when I was casting the VA for Faith, the thing that got me the most was the crying. Like, it was so realistic. It was so good. It was the crying.
Okay, I love you so much, lady. So, for anybody listening to this, may or may not know, me and OMG Sims are partnering up, and we're releasing our first mission, our dual machinima together later this year. So, I was
Yay.
casting, a lot of I was casting 10 roles, which in the grand scheme of things is not a lot of roles, but in my mind was a lot. So the one at the Oodles and Noodles is cry she I sent her the script, she picks the scene, she's crying on demand. I'm fucking crying and I'm listening to this audition at work and everyone's looking at me like, yo Jen, are you okay? And I'm
Okay.
like,
You
I
want
was like,
a
no.
tissue?
It's so good. And that I think that is phenomenal of voice acting just being able to cry on demand. I cannot cry. I sound like I'm a 5-year-old whining for a
Oh,
toy.
you've done excellent. You play in Silver Moon
Yeah,
episodes.
I do.
You've done an excellent job.
Well, thank you. Anytime I listen to it, I'm like, oh my God, it's me on screen. How can I like not exist?
You did so well.
Well, thank you. But I was always curious. Now that I've casted a project, I love hearing casting. Now, You like specifically the crying. Did you get any what other aptitudes do you look for when you're casting a voice actor project?
To me, I know a lot of creators cares about the voice that the characters have. I don't really care much about the voice. I only care for emotion. As long as you can display the emotions, I don't care how your voice sound. What other things do I use? People, I love people that read the line word for word without adding their own stuff, because it means that you take it a little serious. You take my writing serious.
See, that's interesting that you say that is because I will always add things to scripts. And OMG has always encouraged myself to be very open and just saying, take the script and run with it. And if you think Amy is going to say this line, do it. So I will do three takes with his original work, and then I'll do two or three takes. I'd be like, love you, but I think maybe she would say this instead. Or I want to be a raging bitch here, and I want to add a couple swear words, right? So, and he normally will go with my improv takes every time. So it's interesting to say, like, to think it that way.
I'm talking based on the audition aspect, because you
Okay.
don't know the character yet, you don't know her relationship to this person yet. But most of my actors, my voice actors, they improvise, and usually I do go with the improv. Oh my God, there's a voice actor I love working with him so much. He voiced Jason in Unsound Mind, and sometimes he knows his character so well. Sometimes I would say this is happening in the scene, and I would literally add one word just because I know that he's gonna add extra. I remember there was a funny scene that I did in Unsound Mind, and I didn't know what to add because I have no sense of humor. My humor is very dry, and I didn't know what to add. So I just ended up, this is what's happening, and I gave them like a sentence to go with, and he just, I didn't even tell him that he was supposed to add extra lines. When he seen the script, he had a whole paragraph, and I love him so much for that. I can always count on him,
I love
always, and he's so funny.
that, but that's the trust that you build with your voice actors of being like, I know them. So a good voice actors can make or break your project. Not only good voice actors, but
That's true.
CC and animations, I think, play a huge factor in machinimas. Because let's be real, everybody listening to this as a storyteller, EA shit's garbage
Oh my
of
God,
when it
very
comes.
cartoonish.
It's so cartoonish. Like they're like the animation in the faces just like makes me want to throw my head in a wood chipper. That's why I will never be an EA game changer because I can't lie and say I'm like, yeah, I use your product only when creating a story. That's why I struggled so hard. And so you think you can sim. I was like, I can't to make a sim. And then I realized I was like, no, I have to use their fucking beady eyes without CC. And I just can't trust Sims without CC eyes. Oh my God. It's like a rabbit staring at you. It fucking looks through you, not at you. So CC and animations play a huge factor. When you are designing a character, you obviously have a general idea of what they'll look like when you're writing the story. Does that follow through when you create them for your machinimas?
Oh, can you repeat that again, please? I'm sorry. The
No,
last
it's
question.
that's okay. When you are creating, like when you're writing for these characters in your machinima, you have a general idea of what they're going to look like. When it comes to actually making them in The Sims, what you visualize, is that what you're able to create?
Oh, without CC, no. Okay, if I
Oh,
have CC.
baby, with CC, baby, we're adding CC in here. But this is not an EA sponsored podcast, baby. We can talk about every CC creator you use. So.
Yeah, with custom content, usually, yeah, just because there's a lot of creators out there creating CCs, and usually I'm so amazed sometimes that I'm looking for something and I actually find it. Like if I'm looking for a mole at the side of the cheeks, I can find that, and I find it so amazing. Not, I would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, probably 7 out of 10, the resemblance, like the image that I have in my head compared to the creation. Yeah, 7 out of 10, yeah.
I love that. And I think that why CC is really important is like, again, like you're able to get what exactly what like what you're thinking. And sometimes I do feel like EA may be lacking in certain di like different ethnicity hairs, ethnicity skin
That's
colors,
true.
ethnicity, but pre-map, like I can't even think, it's not pre-maps, but like your body, like the body shapes and stuff, right? Like it's just it there's stuff that EA is missing that I hope one day I won't be sitting holding my fake teeth in my hand and be 110 years old. Like EA will finally, you know, figure this shit out a little bit more.
Probably. I mean, they're running out of time. Have you seen that new project? New. What's the name of it? Eon. I whatever. How do you call? Damn, I forgot the name of it.
There's
They just released a trailer.
Life by You, there's Paralyze that are coming out.
There's another one.
Is there
I think
another
it start
one?
with I.
Oh, or is it has it been picked up yet by the other simmers? Because I'm seeing other,
Yeah, literally everybody was in the trailer. I mean, in the comment. Oh my God, Sim is crying right now. Oh my God, Sim is gonna crash after this because it looks so realistic. What you're able to do, it looks amazing so far. It sucks that I forgot the name of it though.
I mean, here's the thing, and I've stated this so many times on this podcast, so I apologize, everybody, but get ready for this 5-minute rant. The Sims, when it first came out, was groundbreaking. Like, it was so groundbreaking. It was 2000s. It was internet was new. You played Neopets. You played some Flash games, but there was nothing out there. And then when Sims 2 came out, it was mind-baffling of what you were able. There was nothing like that on the market. Now, the problem is EA does what businesses sometimes do, and it irks me, is they stand still and they don't really do anything different. And the problem is when they stand still, everyone catches up to them. Because Sims, I know you haven't played Sims 2 or Sims 3, but Sims 2 is, in my opinion, better than Sims 4 in a lot of aspects. Sims 3 is better than Sims 4 in a lot of aspects. So you now have all of these competitors coming. EA's never had a competitor. Sims has never had a competitor. I'm sure there's life simulation games and there's like come and go, but there's never been a true competitor. Now they're starting to have competitors and they're gonna have to start making changes. It's just basically if you're in Ontario and you're a Leafs fan, EA is like you're like a Leafs fan. Like you're kind of hoping that every year they'll make it past game seven in when they eventually lose to Boston. Okay, which is a very specific reference to anybody who's listening to this in Ontario right now that's having this debate. But they're stuck. And the thing is, they all caught up, and like it's been like we're now getting stuff in The Sims that we should have already had, and then they're patting themselves on the back for saying we did it. So
Well,
it's just kind of it's annoying. So I'm excited for them to have competition. I'm excited for other companies to light a match under their asses and be like, let's go. Let's fucking get this game up to like 2024 levels, not 2015 levels, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me how it with each game, it just got worse and worse. Like it should be better, not the other way around.
Right?
It's so
Or
weird.
there should be more things instead of carbon copies. Like right now, I can see Sims 2 University, Sims 3 University, and we all have Sims 4 University. It's just porters. Yeah. It's just porters. And I mean, they add other things, but like, I want to see more original content. Mm-hmm. I want to see new ideas. I want players to be playing this game, being able to create themselves and their authentic shape and their authentic body and their authentic everything. Because that's the whole point of The Sims. And the fact that we're still not able to do that fully in 2024, in my opinion, is disgusting. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Disgusting. I will get off my soapbox before, I don't think I'll get canceled, before EA comes in before EA comes in and removes my Sims access, even though I've paid a lot of money to play this game. Well,
Sims 4 is kind of a cash grab, so.
It's for sure a cash grab. I used to be so fucking perky, like a groundhog on Groundhog Day. I'd be like, oh, new kits?
You might.
Talk about it.
I used now, to buy them on first day.
Right? And now I'm like, fuck. I know enough people in the EA Creator Network. I'll enter one of their giveaways and I'll get hand if I want it. So.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't even buy them anymore. Whenever they release something now trying to create hype, I'm like, we'll see. Because they're always breaking something.
Right? Like, oh, yay, we can have disco balls. Woot, that's been CC's before I even started playing the game again in 2019. Yay, disco. I think it's just more, and like my theory is, Kits and everybody, it's for the console players who can't have CC. Why are we not just making them free? Console players and anybody who plays on PC can pay for it, because that's your choice if you don't want to add CC into your game. But anyways, back to Unsound Vines. which I mean, that was my rant about CC, but animations also plays a huge factor. Do you make your own animations, or do you spend hours trying to find the perfect animation?
Yeah, I wish I was making my own animation. The last time I tried, my character looked like she was on crack. it was so bad.
I've never attempted. I wouldn't even know where to fucking start. At this point, I'm just like, I know so many great pose creators. I'll be like, hi, it's me. Can you create a pose for me?
Please.
Anybody,
I got some pennies.
Yeah, I have a. I'll send you the new kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I tend to look around. It would take me hours, actually. Sometimes I would spend hours just looking for the perfect animation. And when I can't find it, I have to commission somebody to make it for me. Usually, I like to work with Rascal. Waz, she's amazing. She's such a great creator, and she doesn't rob you. Another creator I used to love working with was Crispy Cucumber. Oh my god, her animation was so cheap. I would have a good animation for me, and she would try to charge me $4. I'm like, no, I'm not trying to scam you here. Here, take $20.
Right?
$4.
Like, yeah, here, please take this 20.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Yeah. But it's important to the story. I have sat there and been like, and like, I do it all, and it's like, it's a picture, so I can really pose people and like do stuff like I, and then I can just go in after and like add my fake flame on in Photoshop, but you can't really do that when you're creating a machinima. So that's why my heart, like, I love that. Like, I love that these poses are out there and these animations, because if I have this vision in my mind of what they are going to do, I will not settle for anything.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Sometimes you do have to compromise because you're not making, most of us, well, a lot of us, I think 90% of us don't make money with our machinimas, but we ended up spending a lot of money on animations and stuff. Sometimes what I do is if if let's say I want the character to have a certain emotion and they're supposed to be seated, and sometimes I would use the tool mod to put them down a little so that way they look like they're sitting down, just so I can capture the emotions that I want. You do have to to think a lot outside the box just to get the result that you want. It's a headache sometimes.
It's a headache, but like once you get that perfect shot and you got it exactly how you want, isn't that like so rewarding?
Yeah, it is
That's
very,
like
very rewarding.
fuck TikTok and dopamine. That's dopamine right there. Of you just
Yeah,
being like,
totally.
you're like, oh my God, it took me 16 hours to get this one fucking shot, but
Yeah.
it's perfect.
The dopamine is even stronger when another creator noticed it. It's like, oh my God, you
Like,
noticed
thank you.
my hard work. Yes. Yeah.
This was many years ago. The first time I was ever really talking to Mishima creator, which was the Mom Cave, which
Oh.
we love her on this
She's
podcast, and
amazing.
she's amazing. And if you're listening to this, I hope you're well. She had said to me, she's like, every minute of a Mishima takes 10 hours to put together. I can't. I that is. So true, if not 20 hours to put a minute together. When you started making a machinima, like machinimas, were you like, oh my God, I've been at this for 16 hours and they're still in the same spot. Like, was like, what was the learning curve there?
Okay, in the beginning, not that I didn't care about my craft, but it didn't require a lot of effort. I think the more experience you have, the more you focus on getting that perfect shot. So then you ended up taking more hours in. So it does take you a lot more time to release stuff because you're trying to get a perfect look. But I remember when I first started in the beginning, it didn't used to take me too many time just because I was new. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just recording and then edit and then release. But the more you go, the more you learn, and everything that you learn, you try to apply it. So let's say you learn how to move the camera. So next time you're gonna try to move this camera in a certain way, which is gonna take you longer. So the more you learn, the more you apply, the more times it takes because you are looking for a specific look. Yeah.
No, that totally makes sense. What advice could you give to anybody out there that you wish you would have known day one when you started making
Ooh.
Unsound Minds to where you are today?
I would say don't focus too much on the time, the length of the episode or the movies you're making. Just focus on telling the story. Because I remember one thing that I did wrong when I first started was focusing on how long the episode was gonna be. Which hurt the storytelling a lot because I would end up cutting a lot of important information and a lot of important details from Unsound Mind just because I was scared that, oh, if the episode is too long, people are not gonna watch it. But when I went back to remaster the episodes, like the episode would end up, I added all the details that I had previously deleted, and it actually performed better. So, what I would say is just focus on the story, just focus on the details, making the viewers connect with the characters, and they would stick and watch the episode no matter the length.
Amazing.
That would be my advice, yeah.
Amazing. I think that's really good, and that comes a good episode to length of. If I'm watching a machinima, I don't want a 10-minute machinima episode. Like, I want, and I'm being greedy because I've never actually made a machinima because OMG Sims, I love you, baby. But at the same time, I would want it to be the right length. I would want it to be like, oh, okay, like 18 to 25 minutes. But I'm also a sitcom kitty where I used to just like sitcoms and episodes are 22 to 23 minutes. So I think that's really good advice. Now, your writing has obviously very much improved over the years. What advice could you give to anybody who wanted to go back and remaster their story from the beginning?
Oh, I would say to remember the details, to remember how you have the episode, so that way you know we tell stuff. Let's say you had ex already touched on this character's background on a on the later episode, and you go back in the front to a mask. So you have to remember what information people already know. Because compared to when I did my remastered episode, I only remastered the half, the beginning. So I had to keep in mind what information I had already give from episode 6 to 12. So that way I don't tell that information in the beginning. Because I feel like it's gonna be very annoying to keep hearing again the same detail over and over again.
Well, yeah, and I think something as well. So it's like you're going back and redo it. Like maybe at the time when you were writing, you weren't actually sure where the story was going to go. So you were like, oh, well, I'll say this or this, and it can kind of lean on any way. But when you got to the 12th episode, it was already like, oh, like I'm gonna do this. Hindsight, if 20 hindsight's 2020, you've been like, oh, well, I would have just said this instead, and this would have cut out this scene and this scene, and we could just, you know, skip through the bullshit and just go right through. No, I think that's such phenomenal advice. What is your elevator pitch for Unsound Minds? This is
Elevator
your
pitch.
elevator pitch. So you have 30, and that's a marketing, an old marketing term. When two people used to get in an elevator, which takes about 30 seconds to get to the floor, people would pitch their projects of being like, you need to come watch this because it's like the best. So here is your elevator pitch moment. I'm giving you 30 seconds to all of the new listeners out there that are and returning listeners. Why should we go and watch Unsound Minds?
Okay. Oh, shoot. 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Okay. If you love blood, you love serial killers, you love bitchy characters, you love abusive. Okay. You don't love abusive stuff, but if you love watching abusive stuff, like Unsound Mind is the show. If you love crazy, Unsound Mind is the show for you. That would be my pitch.
I've booked you for 3 seasons in a movie. I love that. Well, thank you so much, lady, for coming here today and indulging. Is there anything else that you want to talk about that we've not talked about yet today?
Yo, I'm thinking. Oh, a funny thing that happened during the show was when I had written an episode and I sent it out. I sent out the episode and I'm waiting for the script. So as I'm about to edit the episode, and the VA that played Jessie, her name is Emily Will, she's amazing. So I'm checking my messages, but I'm like, where did she send me the lines? Because I had written the episode, I sent it out to her, and I envision her. I envision hearing the audio. I know how she said the line. I know how she read the line. So I'm looking for her lines, and I couldn't find it. So then I message her. I'm like, hey, I know you sent me that lines. Where did you send it to me? Did you send me an email in Gmail, or did you send it here but I can't find it? It's like, oh, I didn't know you sent out a script. It which was so crazy because I knew exactly how she said the lines. So then I told her, oh my God, yeah, I'd sent out the script. I'm planning on visiting the episode this day. And she always pulled through. She sent out the script, the lines the next day. And when I listened to the audio, it was exactly how I had it in my head. And it was so crazy that I knew her so well that
You
I
just
thought
knew.
that, yeah, like it was so crazy. It was just so mind-boggling to me the way I just envisioned her seeing the lines. It was crazy. Yeah, that would be a funny moment that happened. Yeah.
I love that. But that's how you know you have a good cast. You just know. You just know.
Yeah.
Well, lady, thank you so much for coming here today. Where can we
Thank
find
you.
you and this amazing project?
The Until Mine is on YouTube. I have 13 episodes ready to be watched. Yeah, and I'm also on Twitter, Instagram. I'm literally everywhere under Lady Riaz. So yeah, that's how you'll find me.
Amazing. Well, the links are going to be below. Please go check out Unsound Minds. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to talk to you today. Also, welcome first-time podcast guest. I love having first-time podcast guests on here. So thank you so much for coming here
Thank
today.
you.
I have personally nothing to plug. If you want to be a guest on season three, please send me an email. Please note, my list is getting very long. Everybody does get their time in the sun, so just please be patient with me. And as well, if you are a Machinima creator and you would like to be featured on this podcast, please email me below and we will get something sorted. And I love everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.